people. Young people. People from every faith, of every race and culture, people from small towns, and big cities. People from all walks of life. People just like those you see and mingle with every day. Ordinary people. These people have one thing in common. They all belong to the same minority group. The characteristic of this minority is not something you can see. It's an invisible characteristic that cannot be seen even by others who share it. These are the people who find their basic love and sexual satisfaction primarily with members of their own sex. These are the people we label homosexual in our society. They are the invisible minority. Oscar Wilde, writing in Victorian times, called homosexuality the love that dared not speak its name. Until a few years ago, this taboo of silence continued to exist. Homosexuality was not considered a proper subject for discussion. The silence concerning this minority group caused their problems to go unrecognized by society. These are the doors to the headquarters of one of the oldest homosexual organizations in the United States. One, located in Los Angeles. Like similar pioneer organizations across the country, has been working quietly for years to obtain equal rights for the homosexual.
My name is W. Dorr Legg, and I am education director of One Incorporated in Los Angeles. One was founded on October 15, 1952, at a meeting in my home. I have been active with it ever since that time. The structure of the corporation has several divisions. It has an education division, which is engaged in the serious academic and college level study of male and female homosexuality. Then we have publications. One magazine, which is primarily literary in its orientation. Then comes a division which some of our people feel is one of our most important, if not the most important, and that is social service. During the years since we have been founded, more than 5,000 men and women have come to us for personal counseling.
A recent lecture at One provides an example of the dramatic changes in society's attitudes that are taking place today. Reverend Tom Maurer, a speaker from the National Sex and Drug Forum, announces the release of the National Institute of Mental Health's final report of the Task Force on Homosexuality.
But I can't tell you how much this thrills my guts to know that a branch of the federal government actually has a task force that has released a report such as this one. Really, honestly, 30 years ago, no one could have ever convinced me that I would live to the day when our government would be at this point. And the National Institute of Mental Health is committed to changing the scene in America in its practices and attitudes toward homosexuality.
In Washington, D.C., Dr. Frank Kameny is the president and founder of the Mattachine Society there, and the first candidate for Congress to openly campaign as a homosexual citizen. Dr. Kameny emphasizes the significance of the report.
This is the first time that an official American governmental report has come out proposing that the whole body of discriminatory laws and policies be modified or dropped. Public attitudes toward homosexuality are changing very, very rapidly. And one of the most important aspects of that change is the fact that the subject can be talked about now, whereas as little as 3 or 4 years ago, it couldn't be. Nowadays, of course, you have newspaper articles, magazine articles on it, radio and television discussion of it at great length. The word can be used in a rather matter-of-course fashion.
Increasingly, homosexuality has been used as a theme in the theater. Drama critic John Simon writes that homosexuality is a subject of the utmost importance and dignity and deserves the careful attention of homosexuals and heterosexuals alike, if only it is unflinchingly examined, whether as comedy, tragedy, or drama. In the past few seasons, audiences have seen a wide variety of homosexual situations portrayed frankly on the stage. Motion pictures dealing with lesbianism and homosexuality have been seen by an even larger audience. Pat Rocco, whom Playboy magazine has called the Cecil B. DeMille of homosexual films, describes a new development, the all-male film.
The all-male type films started in Los Angeles at the Park Theater and has since spread to major cities. And I think it fulfills a need. We've had all-girl beaver films for a long time that appeal to a widespread male interest. And now we have male films that also appeal to a male interest in a different category. I think it's healthy.
Now, obviously, when the wraps are first taken off a subject, you're going to have it approached with a certain amount of distortion and a certain amount of sensationalism. And this you're getting. It's a novelty, it's something new, and so we'll have to go through a phase. Now, meanwhile, of course, it's besides familiarizing the general public with the topic so that it can be talked about and people can be made aware of it, this is having a very, very profound effect on the homosexual himself, which is critically important. A new militancy is developing in the homosexual community. People are getting fed up with and sick and tired of the old covertness and hiding in closets and the double life and the mask and the camouflage and the disguise, and are coming out in the open. You have groups like the Gay Liberation Front and other organizations who are beginning to demonstrate publicly when things are done that they don't like.
I'm Vernita Gray. I'm a student at the University of Chicago and a member of the Women's Caucus of Gay Liberation. At the women's meetings, we discuss things from how do you tell your parents you're gay? How do you tell your children? We discuss problems that just come up in very close relationships. I could say we really discuss marriage, both homosexual and heterosexual.
My name is Maher Ahmed, and I'm a member of Northwestern University Gay Liberation. Gay liberation serves to many people a definite need because of the particular situation as homosexuals. I started back when I was a freshman. I went through the usual paranoia and depression that a lot of homosexuals go through before they, when they realize that they're homosexuals and they don't know anyone else that's a homosexual and they don't know quite where to turn, and they know that they really mustn't tell anybody that they are gay because they know, you know, huge consequences will arise from that. And when you are told that you're criminal, that you're sick, that you're perverted, that you're morally wrong for your entire lifetime at every turn, it's going to take effect on you and it's going to harm you. And I was really getting to a point where I was, it was very bad for me personally and psychologically. I was going crazy. This was a secret I had carried with. It's a secret that you can't tell anyone, and it gets to the point where it's just too much for you to bear. And so the first thing I did to try to find that, you know, other people that were like me. I called Mattachine Midwest. I had heard of it, and when I did, you know, I went to a few meetings, and from there I got more into. I figured out more about myself as being a homosexual. And I got more into meeting other people and being able to survive. My brother, I used to get once in a while into really, you know, vigorous arguments with him about the subject, and you know, he had the idea that homosexuals were sick, and there he was telling me this, and I had to sit there and I couldn't say anything. And if you don't think that's a psychological, you know, bummer, it is. A similar situation when I was a freshman here, I sat with two friends of mine. They were girls, and we were in a restaurant, and they were going on and on about all the homosexual stories they had, every stereotype in the world, and I sat there like a bump on a log and said absolutely nothing. Nobody is going to do that to me anymore. And it was through this, and through the fact that I sincerely believed that I would be able to live a better life, I felt I could relate with people more directly and more fully if everyone knew that I was a homosexual. And as a result, it has improved my relationships with people 1,000%. I just, when I think of what I went through for so long.
Traditional religious attitudes have made it difficult for many homosexuals to reconcile their sexual orientation with the teachings of their church. In the past, homosexuals have felt excluded from openly participating in church services and religious activities. Today, they can meet in churches organized by and for homosexuals.
My name is Reverend Troy D. Perry. I'm the pastor of Metropolitan Community Church in Los Angeles. Our church helps the homosexual to help himself. The breakdown of the church body is about 70% male homosexual, 15% lesbian, and 15% heterosexuals who just happen to like our mode of worship. MCC is an independent congregational church. We are probably the largest homophile religious organization in the world. At MCC, we believe that the homosexual should have every right that heterosexuals do. And one of those rights is the right to marry. We perform wedding services for two guys or two girls, as well as for a male and a female. We perform heterosexual marriages, but we do perform the other type because we feel like marriage, after all, is just receiving a blessing from the church. While it's not legal in the state of California yet, it is legal, we feel like, in the sight of God.
Because they feel the press generally ignores or misrepresents them, homosexuals and lesbians have also begun to publish their own newspapers. They can now be found on newsstands across the country to serve the needs of this minority.
I'm Jack Nichols. I'm the editor of Gay.
I'm Lige Clark. I'm co-editor of Gay.
We are trying to put out a paper that's going to be interesting on its own account and not simply because it's a paper aimed at the homosexual community.
We're going to use the paper to, so to speak, educate the heterosexual and educate the homosexual and try to form a integration, so to speak, of the two. We've gotten, I've noticed, quite a few subscriptions from heterosexuals, the younger people who really, they're really wanting to find out. They're not willing to believe everything they're told anymore about homosexuality. People are beginning to relax more about sex in general, I think, and they're not so uptight about buying a paper named Gay. Whereas I think 5 years ago, people wouldn't have bought it had they seen it on the newsstands because they would have been afraid to.
Lesbian and homosexual groups have also opened their own community centers. The Gay Activist Alliance in New York has renovated an old firehouse as a meeting place for homosexuals and as headquarters for their civil rights activities.
My name is Jim Alls. The Gay Activist Alliance is a militant homosexual civil rights group, and our main objectives are to repeal legislation that is on the books that is discriminatory against homosexuals, and also to see that there is a law passed that would give homosexuals equal opportunity on their jobs.
I would like to say one thing about the goals, too. In getting rid of the oppression of homosexuals, we believe that the one best way to do that is to make homosexuals aware of themselves as a political power group, that is, as a group of people who on certain limited issues have something in common and who should be aware of themselves, have a consciousness of themselves as a voting bloc.
We're just starting up the bottom of the hill that the Negro is approaching the top of. We're just about 50 years behind, but going through essentially the same kind of process. The homosexual is increasingly unwilling to take lying down the things that he's taken in the past. We've been shoved around for 3,000 years, and we're starting to shove back, and there's going to be more of it.
Come here if I was worried about being arrested for being part of a conspiracy. And I said, I want to tell you something. If it's illegal for people to get together and demand their rights, then I'm guilty of a conspiracy. And I'm glad.
I can remember the guilt they gave us, the ghetto they gave us. I can remember the hiding, the loneliness, the terror, the always being afraid of being spotted, hooted at, harassed, put down. Can you remember these things?
Yeah!
And so let's begin the revolution. And this is a very special one. It's about love and health, and it's even got kisses in it and a sense of humor.